Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Hi, this is Roland. This is a special message for the listeners to the San Francisco station, to listeners in Boston, and listeners in Chico. I've given the station's 28-day notice to cancel Shedding Shackles. I'd like to keep one of the stations, but whether I do will depend upon the good Lord. Thank you.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Experience God's Forgiveness. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm stopping by to talk about life. And this is a call to all Christians. I coined a phrase, and it's sleepwalking Christians. This is a call to all sleepwalking Christians. And there are some, a lot of them, and we're going to talk about it. But you need to have your faith come alive. Your faith to come alive so that it's a living faith. Wasn't there a hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, Living Faith, something like that? I can't remember. I used to sing it when I was a kid. Faith of Our Fathers, Living Faith. You need a living faith. And how does a faith become living? In other words, it's dynamic. It's alive. Christ said, my words have life. He said, the letter of the law, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. His words were alive. So you must come, you must wake up. I will never forget, I've told this before, but I'll tell it again, because it made a big impression upon me. I was a college student, I'm guessing maybe 23 years old, 22 years old, and I was taking a poetry class. And it was Modern American Poetry was the name of the course. And it was very good. It was a good teacher. And incidentally, it was alive. He allowed people to express themselves and to be spontaneous. And I wrote poems. It was a class to study Modern American Poetry. And I wrote poems. And I didn't finish all the work, but I wrote poems and gave the poems to him, and he was kind enough to look at them. And then the end of the semester came, and somehow, I don't know what I did. I think I left a class. I didn't take the final. He could have given me an F. Instead, he gave me an incomplete. And so I had an incomplete. Or was it an F? I can't remember. I think it was an incomplete. But then, 2, 3, 4 months later, I somehow had to look at my records for some reason, and the incomplete was changed to a good grade. And I couldn't believe it. I thought maybe he made a mistake. I wanted to make sure that it was not a mistake, because I had some principles. And I went to him. One day I saw him in the cafeteria, and I said, did you change my grade from an incomplete to the good grade? And he said, yes. And I said, why? He said, Christ redeemed us all. That's what he said. But anyway, it was an alive class. But what was my topic? Oh, yes. But during the class, he at one point told about something that happened, a true story. It was in the newspapers, a true story. A lady experienced the great Los Angeles earthquake. This was a long time ago, but it was a big one. And everything was shaking. And in her house, things came tumbling off the shelves. And it was, a lot of people were frightened. It was a big earthquake. But after the earthquake was over, she looked at her stuff and she said, and she suddenly realized that she was not living her own life. And she walked away and started a new life. So that earthquake for her was a big wake-up call. A lot of us have had a wake-up call. So it gives you a chance to take a look at your life.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years. Are you feeling stressed out? Do you find yourself worrying a lot? Maybe Christian stress management could help. Want to find out more? Why not check out Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station.
Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
Now, a lot of us have had a wake-up call. Most of us have had many wake-up calls. Somewhere along the line, maybe when you were a kid or a teenager, you did something really rotten. And you were in big trouble. But somebody gave you a break. The judge showed leniency, or the police officer let you walk. He just gave you a lecture and then let you go. Or your parents, somehow they didn't yell and scream, and somehow you were shown mercy. It was a close call. Or maybe you and your friends were doing something and it turned out to be really stupidly dangerous, and something almost went really wrong. And afterwards, you guys said, oh my God, it was a close call. And then later in life, well, sometimes we're not living right, we have a close call. Or maybe later in life yet, you have a heart attack or get some life-threatening illness, and it's a big wake-up call, you know. Or one day, you know, your wife says, well, I want a divorce, or your kids run away from home. It's a big wake-up call. So it gives you a chance to take a look at your life and maybe make some changes. But somehow, so here's my point, and you all can relate to this because you've had your wake-up calls. You've lived life improperly, sometimes for years. And then the wake-up call is a result of all that improper living for years. But what I'm trying to say is that for years and years, you were like a zombie. You were sleepwalking. And you went to school and you went to work and you did this and you did that. And you went out on Friday night with your friends and all the usual stuff. But it was like you weren't really paying attention. And then all of a sudden, there was a big wake-up call. You take a look at yourself. Some of you, the morning after the night before. The morning after the night before, you wake up and say, oh my God, you see what I mean? So it's a wake-up call. Or the other example I've always given, you know, you're a lady and you have this guy that you're going out with and everybody tells you he's no good, but you don't believe him. You think he's a good guy. And then all of a sudden, one day you find pictures of some other woman on his phone, or he gets somebody leaves him a text or leaves him a voicemail, and he left his phone there and you couldn't resist looking at it or listening to it. And oh my God, he's going out with somebody else at the same time that he's going out with you. It's a big wake-up call. All right, so do I need to give you more examples of wake-up calls? I don't. But now I just want you to see that it is possible to be sleepwalking through life, and somehow you're missing out on something really important. And then, you know, after your kid runs away from home, or your kid, you know, your adult child says, I don't want to ever talk to you again, don't ever call me again, you realize that something has gone wrong, and you wish you could go back and start over. You wish you could have spent more time with them and gone to the game with them and talked to them and gone for a walk with them. But you were somehow sleepwalking. What were you doing? You were watching football, or you were working, or who knows what you were doing, but the months went by and the years went by. In the Bible, it calls them the years that the locusts ate. Well, it's a big wake-up call. Now, here's the good news. All right, so people have a big wake-up call. Then what happens? Well, sometimes they clean up their act. They change permanently for the better, and that's good. But oftentimes what happens is they clean up their act for a little while, and then they just go back to their old ways again. Or they have the wake-up call, and they don't want to see it. They don't want to see the truth. They don't want to realize the truth. So they blame the other person. They deny that they ever did anything wrong. They escape into another relationship, or they escape into alcohol, or escape into their work, and they escape somehow so they don't have to see it. And then they go back into a deeper sleepwalking state than before, you see. Or sometimes people swap addictions. You know, you wake up one day and you realize your health is gone, that you're an alcoholic or you're a drug addict or something like that. And you really, really see it and you really, really want to change. And then you change. But then what do? You swap addictions. So you take up organized religion instead of drugs, or instead of drinking soda, you drink bottled water. And instead of smoking, you start chewing gum. So you're addicted to chewing. So you just swap addictions. But those addictions that you cling to, see, whatever it is that you cling to and find comfort in and escape into, it keeps you in the sleepwalking state.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, helping you navigate life's challenges with poise and confidence. If you have a question or need advice, call our listener call-in line at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
Whatever it is that you cling to and find comfort in and escape into, it keeps you in the sleepwalking state. So if you change religions, brand of religion, then you're still going to be in the same state that you were before. So once again, faith must come alive. And how is faith alive? It's when you relate directly to the truth and then to the creator and the maker of that truth. See, because in your sleepwalking state, you basically are more compatible with lies. Because what does the truth do? If it's really the truth, spoken with love, directly, unemotionally, without guile, directly, the cold, hard truth, you know, like tough love, what does it have? It has an awakening quality. The truth has an awakening quality. And so when you awake to truth in your wake-up call, if you don't duck it, if you don't excuse yourself and blame others and escape into something, and you just see the truth, whatever it is, no matter how painful it is, you just see it and you don't resent seeing it, and you stay awake, then you become free. The truth is liberating. It's like a breath of fresh air. Okay? And how many times here's another example. You're at a meeting, a business meeting, okay? And it's so boring. And the people are up at the front and they're talking this and that, and then somebody gets up and they're talking and they're droning on, and it's getting close to lunchtime and the room is warm and, oh, it's so boring. And then they say, oh, but now let's continue with this topic here. And then suddenly somebody raises their hand and they say, you know what? It's almost lunchtime and it's kind of hot in here. Could we go to lunch now? And everybody is so relieved that somebody told the truth. Okay, they're so relieved that somebody stood up and told the truth. So that's what I'm talking about. So truth is a beautiful thing. and it's sweet, and it's so good. The only time that you don't like the truth is when it shows you to be wrong. But if you could just see another way of when truth shows you to be wrong, maybe you have a good laugh. You know, you laugh at yourself. You suddenly see your own folly, your own foolishness, and, you know, you can't help but laugh. Well, that's also good. And it's liberating. All right. So I think you got the idea. You need truth. And if it's the real truth, see, and you stick with it, it will lead you toward God. See? And the closer you get to Him, see, the closer you get to Him, you become freer and freer and freer. So if you're doing anything now that's not free, that you don't feel free, you feel constricted and restrained, and you're gnashing your teeth, and you have to police yourself, and you have to walk around on eggshells, and you have to study, and you're afraid of making a mistake, and you have to worry about what they're going to say, and you have these obligations that you have to do and you have to give, there's a good chance that it's not leading you to God. It's more stuff that binds you and restricts you and takes away your spontaneity. And so there comes a time when you got to let that stuff go and just say, the heck with it. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do more. You got to work more. You got to give more. You got to spend more. You got to be nicer. And finally, one day you just say, the heck with it. Okay. But not resentfully. See, just from plain old seeing that that stuff is taking you nowhere. And then look to God. He's the one, see, He is the creator of truth. The truth that you love to hear. The truth that frees you up. The truth that cuts through all the falsity and the phoniness. And it's so beautiful. Well, He's the creator of that truth. And He wants you to know the truth. But His truth always has love. See, He has a twinkle in His eye. It's like, you know, I had a teacher in high school, and he could be a little bit stern, but he had a twinkle in his eye. And so he could tell you something. He could say, knock it off, dummy. And he would say that, and it was the truth, but he had a twinkle in his eye. You see what I mean? So you didn't mind. And some of you had a teacher like that. Oh, I had a teacher in junior high school. Oh, my goodness. We called it junior high. I think they usually call it middle school now. She was so strict. She was an English teacher. Strict. But she was, how can I say this? Strict, but completely fair. And I don't know how to say it. But it was nice. I secretly liked her strictness. And one day she called me up at the end of class, and she said, you know, your work is not so good. You can do better. She said, you can do a lot better. So start doing better. That's all she said. And she meant it. And it was said in a stern way. But somehow she had a twinkle in her eye. So there was love in it. Not judgment, not condemnation, but there was love in it. So that's the way the truth is.
Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
Somehow, she had a twinkle in her eye. So there was love in it. That's the way the truth is. It wants you to be able to do better. It wants the best for you. See, some people, they correct you, but it's like they secretly want you to rebel, or they don't, or they secretly, the help that they give you is like it's like they secretly don't want you to get better. You know what I mean? But not God's love. Mm-mm. His love is stern, but you get better, and afterwards you're grateful. All right. So I think I've said. I think you got my point. Oh, so this radio program, it would be so nice, and this is what I pray, that I speak in such a way that it becomes a wake-up call for you. See, wake-up calls, like I said, you can see your own folly and then have a good laugh. Or two friends can be arguing and then one friend takes a mental step back and says, hey, we're friends. It's not a big deal. It's not that important. And then the two of you laugh and then you go off and go to Starbucks. You see what I mean? So it's better if you wake up to truth. Now, here's the other thing. Now, here's the good part. Conscience. Not your false conscience. Not the one where people say, oh, you got to do more, you got to give more, you got to give more money, you got to tithe more, you got to spend more, you got to be nicer, you got to volunteer more. No, not that one. Where you feel guilty in front of other people because they lay obligations on you and then you resent them for their pressures and for their manipulations and then your resentment makes you feel guilty. And then because of that, you feel like you have to do something nice for them to assuage the guilt. You see what I mean? No, not that. But your true conscience, which is from God, it's wordless. It's what you know in your heart. See, it's quiet. It's silent. It's gentle. You just know in your heart, okay? Well, that's from God. And you know what? It's a little wake-up call. You're just about to yell at your kid for not doing her homework, and then you notice that she's pale and she's not feeling well. And instead of yelling at her, you just say, hey, you know, let's go do something else, you and I. Because in your heart, you see and you know. You see what I mean? So it's like that.
Can you ignore the advertisements and think only for yourself? A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. So many of today's advertisements are put on by companies mainly seeking to make profit. In order to stay healthy and keep good relationships in your home life, you need to tune out these advertisements and do what you wordlessly see is right. When in doubt about what you should do, ask two or three trusted family members. If they all say the same thing, that's probably the route to go. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
So, your conscience is... can help. See, if you heeded your conscience, all of its little wake-up calls, see, it wouldn't even be conscience if you hadn't strayed from it. Look, if you had always followed what you know in your heart to be yourself instead of listening to other people and having them and then doing what, you know, going in the direction they wanted you to go, if you had truly gone in the right direction for yourself, and instead of doing what the group said, hey, let's go smoke this and let's do that, and you just didn't, even though it made you a bit unpopular, you just, you know, didn't. If you had always followed your conscience instead of other people, and if you hadn't resented other people, then your character would have continued to grow and grow and grow. And you wouldn't, every day would be fresh, and you would move this way and move that way intuitively, and it would be beautiful. And it would be like you were free and happy, like you were when you were a little tiny child, remember? But since you have strayed from your conscience mainly by resenting other people, you resented your mom, you resented your dad, you know, those are the big ones. And then probably you hated your brother or your sister, and then you hated other kids that lorded it over you, and you hated teachers that were bossy and, you know, like that. But it starts with your parents, resenting your parents. If you had never resented people, then your conscience wouldn't bother. It would be a guide. It would be present sight and foresight. See, it would be what Enoch had, and Noah had, and Elijah had. See, it was present sight and it was foresight. And they knew what to do intuitively. But you, since you've paid so much attention to other people, first and doing what they told you to do so you could get some benefit, some and be liked and be popular or whatever, or because you didn't want to displease them because they were tyrants, or because you resented them and then felt guilty, well, then what you did was you followed that and left your conscience behind. And the farther away from conscience, from intuition that you are, the more it becomes conscience. But the more you don't want to face the truth, then it becomes, conscience becomes anxiety. And eventually you don't even know that it's there at all. You just wander through life and do a lot of really dumb things. See? So the wake-up call, how about, wouldn't it be better instead of having a big heart attack wake-up call? Wouldn't it be so much nicer to have little tiny, tiny wake-up calls? And then heed them, and then start to get better and better and better every day. So pray that this program could help reunite you with conscience, and then conscience reunite you with your Creator. May it be so. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.